Welcome to The Positivity Effect, where paying it forward and doing something positive in someone's life can provide them with the confidence and motivation to do the same for someone else. Like a stone dropped into a lake, let's create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world. And it begins with your host, Dr. Thomas Retscher.
Hey, what's up, guys? Happy Friday. Dr. Tom here, and you're listening to The Positivity Effect, episode number 60, The Millionaire Mailman. Few announcements. I'm launching a store centered around The Positivity Effect on May 1st, so stay tuned. And guys, connect with me on Snapchat. It's just been such an awesome social media platform to connect with you guys, the listeners, and a bunch of you have been reaching out, and it's just been really cool. So you can find me at my handle, which is T Retscher. Today we're joined by Tom Nardone, a man who is an example of what it means to pursue the American dream of financial freedom. At age 19, he started working for the post office as a mailman, and it didn't take him long to realize that security entrapment of, quote, a good job, it's not a lot different from a jail sentence. Realizing his, quote, good government job was not going to make his dreams of becoming financially free come true, Tom took some real estate investing courses and bought his first house in 1983 at just 23 years old. Today, we talk a lot about the history behind that shift in his life, and we talk about some of the mindset shifts that were needed to make that happen. Tom is such an awesome, down-to-earth guy, and I'm so excited to bring him to you guys. And tomorrow, he's going to be back as well to tell you how you could connect with him for real estate coaching. Check out Tom at millionairemailman.com, and you can also find him on social media. His Twitter handle is GetHugeChecks. So honored to have this guy on the show. Help me welcome him now to The Positivity Effect. Hey, what's up, Tom? Welcome to The Positivity Effect.
Hey, thanks, Tom.
Absolutely. It's a good name.
One of the best.
Our parents, they put their heads together and they said, this is a good name.
Yeah, my Roman Catholic family picked it from the Bible. So as a kid growing up, I always wondered, why do they call me Doubting Thomas? What's that supposed to mean?
Well, I don't think you're doubting anymore, Tom, because, you know, we're here to talk about some really awesome stuff you got going on, and it's really inspiring. And you have this nickname, the Millionaire Mailman.
Yes, that's my other name. That started actually back when I was in my young 20s and I was working at the post office. You know, when you work in a job and you're doing the grind, a lot of people around you don't like to see you excel or try to move forward. So, you know, I was out buying houses that I would see run down on my mail routes, and I bought like two or three of these properties, and a lot of my postal comrades realized that I was collecting this little portfolio of real estate investments. And like I mentioned, people don't like to see you excel from their environment. They would start to tease me saying, one day you're going to be the millionaire mailman. And that's how the kind of almost like a little chant or a little pestering nickname got started. So it just kind of stuck and we kept it.
You know, isn't that so odd, you know, that people, when they start to see you excel in something, that you get pushback, you know?
Yeah, it really is, because you know, so many people out there just settle for the status quo and never really try to push themselves past the point of, you know, being uncomfortable a little bit and trying to figure out something new. And in reality, you know, your best life is waiting for you just on the other side of that being uncomfortable.
Yeah. And, you know, and it's just thinking of your story, and I want to get more into it, but we think of, you know, that phrase that we have in America, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I think a lot of Americans think that it's life, liberty, and happiness. You know, we're not just given happiness, we have to pursue it.
Correct. And in many times, that pursuance does not involve sitting on the couch with the TV on.
Watching, you know, catching up on House of Cards, or, you know, The Walking Dead season finale.
or watching everybody else on the tube that's bettering their lives and furthering their futures.
Right, right. Well, Tom, for you, for a big part, chunk of your life, you felt very secure, with that job that you were doing with the post office. And, what started to happen? What was changing inside of you where you didn't really feel that it was really fulfilling you anymore?
It really started to happen when I got in my mid-20s. I would say about 25 years old. And part of that was two reasons. Number one, I had started with the post office when I was at the ripe old age of just 19. And
wow,
that was kind of like all I ever knew right out of the gate, and the gate being high school. So, I had one or two part-time jobs that I worked in the mechanics field, and I actually got in the post office trying to think I could work my way into the mechanics department because I had a degree in auto mechanics. But when I talked to a couple of the guys working on the mail Jeeps, they looked at me and they said, "Are you kidding me? You want to get into, having your head under the hood of a truck all day? I mean, you got to be kidding. We're all trying to get where you are. In the delivery section where you're out on the street, you're walking along the, where I live in South Florida, the palm trees, walking along the beach and looking at yachts. And I mean, it's much nicer out there. Don't transfer to the mechanic department." So, I started to take heed to what they were telling me. But I guess it first came to dawn on me when I would just sit there on my lunch breaks and I'd, be under a shade tree somewhere eating my sandwich. And I'd say, "Wait a second. Am I taking the easy way out? This is a great job and all that, but is this really my highest calling in life to do this?" And that's when real estate came along. And fortunately for me, I found a way to blend the two of them together because, mailmen, they're out on the street all day and they're either walking around or driving around. They see houses. So I figured, this is a way that I can break out from that job. And I can utilize the job for a while to help me find deals. And that's what I did.
Did you start researching different areas, kind of expanding your mind, looking into things like real estate, other things outside of your career that, even though you were knee deep in your career, that's what started to kind of really spark that interest in looking to pursue something else? Or was it really like you just were just... you're out on your walks, you're delivering, you're seeing the houses, and you just kind of started to have an aha moment. Was it where somebody was feeding into your life some new information, or was it more just intrinsic?
No, I would say it was a matter of feeding information, because real estate wasn't the first thing that I stumbled upon. When my wife and I were married in 83, so we've been married, we've been married how long? 33 years, 34 years, something like that.
God bless.
Thank you. But
don't let her listen to this part of the show.
Don't let her know I didn't know the actual number. So you lose count after a while. But anyway, when I got, when we got married back in 83, my wife had a higher standard. She was like, even though she was a letter carrier herself, that's how we both met. We were both working at the post office.
Oh, that's awesome.
And yeah, it was awesome for a while. And actually, two post office paychecks, working overtime back in the 80s, you could bring home over $100,000 a year, which for that time, that wasn't bad.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
That wasn't bad. And it was solid. I mean, the post office is a rock solid job. At least at that time it was. Now they're talking about closing a few of them here and there, aren't they?
Right, right. Yeah, you knew that at the end of the day that the paycheck was coming in and that you felt secure at the time with your work. Mm-hmm.
Exactly, exactly. But as I was starting to allude to, we had stumbled across a few multi-level marketing companies and we thought, wow, this looked good. And they kind of built a dream in us about, wow, we could have a better life and it doesn't really cost a lot to get started. So we actually went through three multi-level marketing experiences and we actually built in one where we got our first check of $10,000 a month. And we were like, wow, this actually can happen after a year of hard work. But after that, it crumbled. And
what,
I guess
what year was that when you got that $10,000
check? That was in 1995.
Because even today in 2016, for someone to see a $10,000 check a month, that's a really nice chunk of change. So it's that was, I guess, testament that something was working right.
Correct. It was but it was a house of cards, and it changed with the economy. And you know, I want to say that there are a lot of good multi-level marketing companies out there, and you know, they have a rock solid opportunity, really. But it just didn't work for us. So I know there's a lot of people in that space that are very successful. And maybe we didn't pursue it hard or long or fast enough, but what I saw about real estate was that $10,000 check we got from multi-level marketing after over a year's worth of hard work and having hundreds of people involved. You know, you can go out and you can find a deal where you can make a $10,000 spread, I would say within the next 30 to 60 days, as long as you know what to look for and you're getting the right advice.
So, you know, and that's what, you know, a lot of people listening are thinking of, they're relating themselves to you. You know, they thinking like, okay, I've been working in this career for a long time, and how could I get into real estate? You know, so like in those really early days, how did it really start out? What did it look like for you when you really started to make this transition into really working for yourself?
Yeah. Well, the transition was that It wasn't easy, and it wasn't easy not because it's real estate. It wasn't easy because of me. You know, I had to get over myself, and I had to get over my own fears and my own inadequacies that, you know, am I good enough for this? Can I do this? And, you know, also, and maybe this was more prevalent back in the times, because I'm talking the 80s. This was pre-internet, okay? If you wanted to learn something, you almost had to go to college or a technical school or go to the library every day after work and like study, you know. We didn't have streaming videos and all this information that can just really take you straight to the top and straight to the point.
Google.
Yeah. I mean, it's just Google amazing. Generation. You know, the content that's online right now is totally amazing. But what I'm finding out is that, like in the podcast world, the content is so rich with what you actually have to do that I took a 4-hour ride last night back from a house we just bought up near St. Augustine and Daytona Beach, Florida. And I was driving back, and I was doing my favorite thing I like to do on long drives is listen to podcast shows. And there's just a couple real estate podcasts out there that honestly, if you listen to 10 episodes, you would know everything to do. And they're absolutely spot on with their information, and they're giving it away for free. The only thing that makes the difference, and it's kind of what I needed back then, was I really didn't have somebody to hold my hand and really be like a one-on-one mentor to getting the process done. So again, not having the internet or even knowing how to find the information, you know, we spent a lot of years figuring out what worked, what didn't work, and trying to figure it out all for ourselves. So it took us a lot longer to get there.
Was it, you know, for you and your wife, you know, especially because you guys had gone into the career together, you found each other, you know, working at the post office. Were you able to hold each other accountable, or was it just you that wanted to work on the real estate in the beginning, or were you guys really synced up with that when you switched over?
Well, I would say my wife was more the MLM person. She was more into the network marketing world, and she's like a natural salesman. And I was more like the numbers guy, the cruncher, the more practical guy. She was really like the entertainer and just bubbly and all this stuff, and I was more introverted. So naturally, she took to the space of the multi-level marketing world as being a presenter and doing presentations, and that just came natural to her. For me, I had to really grind within myself to say, I'm afraid to get up in front of an audience, and I had to overcome that. And eventually I did. It took years, but eventually I did. But she was more of the visionary about what she wanted for our lives and our marriage as far as a certain lifestyle.
So you guys were really, you were synced up. Like, even though like you had different skill sets, you knew at the end of the day, like, this is the direction. Like, she didn't want to go in a different direction. Like, you guys both kind of knew this is the direction we're going to go, even though, like, you know, she had different skills and you had some different skills.
Correct. And her skills were mothering. Aside from the business aspect, one of her greatest skills that she wanted to give to our two boys, who are now very well-rounded adults and happily married. In fact, my youngest, who's 26, just got married last month, and he just moved into a place with his wife down here at the beach. But the two of us together, our goals were, she wanted to give our children what she never had growing up, because she grew up with a working mom. And I always had a mom who was home. So what she wanted to do was, she was like, you know what, Tom, you go out and figure this thing out. I'll bounce the babies all day long and keep them happy and work with them. But you go out into the world and just figure this thing out and find a way for us to make a living that'll give us the lifestyle we both desire to have, but also give her the lifestyle of being a full-time mom and also homeschooling the kids, of which I'll say at that time was almost like illegal, homeschooling your kids. We were some of the early pioneers in that.
That's awesome. And you know, that's what it all comes, it stems back to, is that relationship. You know, all right, now we could think about if someone was doing real estate and they were single, you know, you're going to be able to just go and make the decisions right away. But if we're talking about somebody that's in a relationship, it's going to be very difficult to make a shift, or, you know, start a new business or change, you know, have a different career path if you're not synced up at home. So it's, you know, it's encouraging to hear that was the direction that you guys knew exactly what you needed to do. And even though there was a lot of uncertainty, there was certainty in the decisions that you were making.
Correct. Yeah, we were both on the same page. We understood the big picture of what we wanted long term. And we just decided that, you know, whatever it took for me to do that was what we were going to do. And later on, she did jump in with me as a partner. Once the kids got older, they graduated high school, and she currently manages a vacation rental that we have. It's a little different than a bed and breakfast, and it's a little different than a month-to-month rental. It's kind of in the between, but it's very intense because we have people moving out every weekend, and it's in a beautiful part of Palm Beach just north of here. So she manages that, and it kind of settled into her as her little job. But even now, we've decided that we're going to sell that property, and she's going to push on to doing a women's ministry for anxiety, and that's actually what we're building next.
Oh, that's interesting. How did, you know, what sparked her to want to start that?
You know, she suffered for that for about 10 years. In between that long gap we talked about, bouncing the kids when they were babies, and between me figuring it out and leaving the post office, she had some anxiety attacks when she was in her like 30s to 40s. And she suffered from those. And it was kind of like, it was weird, you know, from somebody who does not suffer from that, being myself, it's almost sometimes hard to relate. It's like, what do you mean you're like afraid to leave the house? And you know, right, you kind of don't, but that's a real fear to a lot of people. And for many, there's several years that there were only a few places she would go, like the grocery store and her mom's house or her sister's house, which are just a few miles away. So I used to call it like traveling anxiety, where if she was leaving the home and going too far from it, she'd really have like these panic attacks. So she finally got a grip on it. She got some proper counseling on it, and she's found a way to overcome it. And we started actually about 6 months ago having live meetings in our living room, just inviting folks, you know, that wanted to come from the area through our church circles and stuff, and listen to my wife talk about it. And we've decided we want to kick it up a notch and help more people and take it to a higher level.
Was it that she had, you know, like reaching out to somebody else, or having, like, you know, thinking about the word you said, accountability, when you were talking about building that real estate, was it a kind of having somebody guide her that was when she really started to make a shift with that?
In helping me with the real estate?
No, yeah. So what you're talking about, like with real estate, like that, when you, for you, you wish you had, like when you first started, having an accountability partner, someone, like, even though all the information is there, you'd have somebody kind of coaching you and pushing you along through the process. And now thinking about what, you know, your wife is building, is that something too, like for her, when she started to kind of make those shifts in herself and kind of get free of the anxiety, was she really surrounding herself with people to kind of help guide her through that process?
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. And everything is a learning process. You know, when she started managing the vacation rental property, you know, we had a dear friend of ours from church who was like the only person we knew that was doing the same exact thing with a house they owned in the Keys. So she kind of spent a few days with my wife and showed her the ropes, and then she was off on her own. But as far as her getting into the ministry, yes, it was through church that, you know, she had some friends approach her and say, wow, you know, when you stood up and you shared, we could just really relate to what you said. And then they started asking her if she'd want to help out more within the, you know, women's ministries at the church. And then she just started to kind of do her own in-home group, and it's starting to grow. So it's a pretty neat thing.
That's awesome. And I'm sure for her, like, even though she's free of these things, it's even more healing for her. Like when you go out and help somebody else, that's what we always talk about on this show, on the, you know, the positivity effect. And that's what you're doing now too in the real estate niche. And that's what we're going to talk about tomorrow, how you're going out now and now teaching others. And you're basically being that accountability partner for someone else, the thing that, you know, you felt that you needed so much also when you first started out.
Exactly. Exactly. That's, right on the head.
That's awesome. Awesome. All right. Well, Tom, this has been great. Thank you so much. We're going to have you back on tomorrow. Guys, if you want to get some information and maybe find out more about how Tom could be your coach to help you figure out this whole real estate world, head over to millionairemailman.com. And also you can find him on all the social media. And tomorrow he's going to be back and give us, you know, a little bit more of a glimpse into, you know, what that kind of that coaching looks like, and maybe some actionable tips that you could take to get started if you're looking to get into the real estate niche. And hey, you know, take a lesson or two from Tom and see how what he's doing, how he took something he built up, and then now, even, you know, it made him financially successful, but now he's paying it forward as well. You know, pushing out that ripple effect in his own life and helping other people. And Tom, I love that thing you said about with the podcast is all this so much. We're just drenched. We're drowning in information, but it's the action. You know, taking action on it, and that's really, you know, what you're helping others do with through your coaching.
Absolutely, I agree with you, Tom, for sure.
Awesome. All right, Tom. Well, thank you so much, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Positivity Effect. I promise to keep sharing inspiring stories with the guests every single day. I hope you feel inspired, and I hope that we stirred some self-reflection in you on topics like transparency, compassion, and empathy. Please check out the website at positivityeffect.com, sign up for the newsletter, and I'll send you some tips to get you thinking more positively. If you're really enjoying The Positivity Effect, please tell someone about the show. Together we can create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world, something that we need so desperately today. So thanks again so much for listening. See you tomorrow for another episode of The Positivity Effect.